May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Read a few scriptures to you. This is Philippians 3, verse 10, and a few extra. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to the image of his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's a few verses from the book of the Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come. This is verse 8 of chapter 1. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Chapter 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was, and who is to come. And one more. This is Revelation 16, verse 5. And I heard the angel of the water saying, Righteous are you, who is and who was, O Holy One, because you did judge these things. Just in prayer this morning, the Lord was speaking these verses to me, and particularly the ones from Revelation about saying about Jesus that he's the one who is and who was and who is to come. And it doesn't say that Jesus was God, that Jesus is God, that Jesus will be God. That's not what it says. That's true. But it uses a different kind of language. The one, him, who was, as if the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, and then that last verse in Revelation 16, it just says the one who is and the one who was, and you did judge all these things. Twice the word Almighty is attached to those statements. The reason that we became new creations in Christ is because his story became my story. His crucifixion was my crucifixion. That's a covenant reality. His burial was my burial. His resurrection is my resurrection. His ascension is my ascension, and his life, the scripture says, Christ is now my life. His life is my life. So Jesus' story became my story. What was true about him became true about me. But also, what was true about me became true about him. My story became his story. It's no longer my story. The person who had another story died on the cross. Who he is, who he was, and who he is, his story became my story, but my story became his story. He took all my stuff. He clothed himself in my life, in my story. And so I can't look back and gaze at, quote, my story apart from Christ. I can't look at my present tense and what I'm facing in the moment as this is my story. This is my deal to deal with. This belongs to me. And I can't look at the future and go, I don't know if I'm going to handle the future. I don't know what the future holds, and I'm not sure if I'm prepared for the future. It's not my future. When he says that he is him who is, it's saying that the present belongs to him. It's now his. If what was true about him is true about me, just like what was true about me became true about him, he became sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God. How? The righteousness of God, not that I might become a better person or that I might become more righteous, but that I might become the righteousness of God because I'm in Christ. That's a bigger story. So he's the one who is, so my present situation belongs to him. Whatever I'm going to be facing in the future, I face in him. It's now part of his story. He purchased all that. Again, what's true about him is true about me, and what was true about me is now true about him. My story has become part of his story. I have no separate independent story. I don't have to be afraid of what the future holds because he's not. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. And I can make plans and stuff for the direction of the Holy Spirit, but what if he changes those plans? There's been several things that's happened in my life recently that wasn't what I was planning. But it doesn't belong to me. I was thinking about that this morning. I was reading through some notes that I wrote back in August. And several times I thought, man, I never knew then. But it wasn't my story. It didn't belong to me any more than it was Livia's story. It didn't belong to her. That's the way it works. But here's the cool thing. He's not just him who is, him who will is to come. He is also the him who was. That my past belongs to him. Doesn't belong to me. He's the God who was. It belongs to him. It's part of his story now. It's all been folded into his redemptive story. And so Paul in Philippians, when he's talking about pressing on, this one thing he says, I do. I don't look back. Because Paul did a lot of horrible things when he was Saul. I mean, he was responsible for many Christians murdered, parents drugged out of their home in front of their children to be put to death. One of the things is that you can't reach forward. You can't move forward and look backward at the same time. It's impossible. Try it. Try walking down a street while you're looking backward and see what happens. You're going to break your neck. Bad things happen. But I don't have the right to do that. It doesn't belong to me anymore. And I look back and all I can do is glance with praise and then press on. But again, you can't move forward if you're always reaching backward, looking backward. And I wrote this down. Those who are always looking backward at what was are never able to look beyond to what can be. Because the future can scare some Christians out of walking in the Spirit. Because they somehow think the future belongs to them. They're trying to figure out how it's all going to work out when it doesn't belong to you. He uses the word twice in those verses, the Almighty. He puts it at the beginning, and he's the one who is, the Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, comma, the Almighty. It's the Almighty's future. He uses that word particularly, the Holy Spirit. He's big enough for it. But what trips a lot of Christians up is the past. That somehow they can't move forward because they live in regret of what was, that it could be something they left behind that they wish they still had. It doesn't belong to you. And as long as you keep doing that, as long as you keep looking backward at what was, you're never going to look beyond what was to what can be. And the scripture in John 16 that says the Holy Spirit shows us what's to come, literally present tense, what's coming. It never says the Holy Spirit shows us what's backward. It never says the Holy Spirit shows us what was left behind. It never says the Holy Spirit shows us what we got wrong. That's all been swallowed up into his redemptive story. I don't have a right to that. And if we're going to know the prize, the upward call of the wonders of experiencing and manifesting the fullness of Jesus, go as far as that as we possibly can on this side, then you cannot keep grabbing from him, trying to grab from him what he paid such a huge price for. It's his was. It's his is, and it's his will be to come, is to come, but it's his was, not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And it grieves his heart that we reach back for things. You know, a good example of that is the Jews. When God brought them out of Egypt, and they wandered around in a wilderness for 40 years because they kept longing for the leeks and the cucumbers and the fish of Egypt. So longing for the things that might have been, or longing or feeling guilty and ashamed about the things that shouldn't have been. It all belongs to him. It's none of your business. If you want to be about his business, then those things aren't your business anymore. That's how big he is. He's the God of the is in the moment, of the is to come in the future. But he's also the God Almighty of the was. Because our story is now his story. We don't have an independent story. So all I can do when I look at his story is praise him. Thank him. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.